You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show, Liverpool, Arsenal, the Emirates, Wednesday night. And it is Liverpool's game in hand at last, again. Yeah, I'm Paul Machin, Ian Young and Ross Chandley join me for this one. Ross, yeah, here we go. This is what we've been waiting for. We're going to work on the assumption, of course, because this is live on Monday lunchtime. City still to play Crystal Palace Monday night. We're just going to work on the assumption, the fairly safe assumption, by the way, that City will have comfortably beaten Crystal Palace. And therefore, if I'm right, which we all expect to be the case, then fine, well, the discussion is fine. If I'm wrong and Palace managed to get something, then all the people watching and listening after the fact can sit there with a great smug sense of satisfaction, knowing that me taking this quite, you know, calmly and being a bit, you know, a bit sort of downbeat about it all, was all for naught. But no, we'll work on the assumption that it's 6 points and Liverpool are playing for it to be three.
Yeah, but now you've dangled that in front of me that Crystal Palace might get something, Paul. That's the opportunity that we're all waiting and hoping for, because that opportunity's got to come at some point where we go, or actually, we are level on points.
But to the point, we can't. There's no point thinking that way, because you just that pathway leads to madness. If you're expecting a team of like Crystal Palace, and they are capable, but if you're expecting that, don't expect. My point in general is just don't expect Man City to give Liverpool any favours.
Yeah.
If Liverpool are going to win the title this season, it is going to be the most incredibly hard-fought, nail-biting, end of season, last kick of the ball kind of thing. And that's the best way to think about it.
Same reason I don't set myself targets, because then I can never fail them. It's all good. I think Chris referenced it to pressure tennis. You know, and that was one of the good things about the weekend of, you know, Liverpool playing first, early kickoff against Brighton, get your points, don't worry about the performance, just get your points on the board and then apply the pressure to Man City, because we're in that phase again. I think we missed it last season. Obviously, the title was done this time last season, but we're going back to the thing of, like, we play, you play.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? But this is the one where, because it's the game in hand, we're getting to that point of the season now, which has been annoying me, where certain teams are starting to get back on the same gauge played, and you can gauge the season properly of what's going on. But you know, you can only do that if we win this game. We're back to the same situation again.
Exactly, and that's it, isn't it, Ian? Is that Man City will probably drop points at some point between now and the end of the season, but equally Liverpool will probably drop points at some point, and it's about. This is, we're playing for opportunity, and Klopp is quite keen to downplay the whole title race thing. And look, Liverpool are in the title race, but because we're still coming back from that ridiculous gap that we had at the turn of the year, I understand that mentality, and that's the right mentality to have, is that Liverpool are playing for the right to be in the title race. Because let's be honest, if we don't win our game in hand, and it was to stay 6 points, you can't see City dropping, you can't see City losing a couple, you know, two games. That becomes an exponentially bigger ask the more you're asking for them to drop points. So Liverpool need to get back into the habit of just winning, and that's what they played for at the weekend at Brighton. They played to make this game matter, and now they've now, great, this is the game in hand. We've been talking about the game in hand in ages. They've now got to go out there and win the game in hand.
I think if Liverpool and City had been neck and neck all season, we wouldn't be as positive that we are about getting them winning that title. I think the fact that we were so far behind and the turnaround has been so massive has put a lot of positivity on it. We've just got to make sure we're winning our games and getting our points. As long as we're doing that and treating every game like as a cup final this season, when the medals are handed out at the end of the season, we can say there wasn't much more we could do from a certain point, and that's the way Liverpool have got to do it. I still think points are going to be dropped on both sides. I can't see Liverpool going the whole way without dropping points, and I certainly can't see City without doing it. And I think Palace, similar to Spurs, play a game that sometimes kind of not the you can get at City. I think the way they play the game with Zaha and players like that, City leave a lot of spaces and the wide areas at the back. And I think Crystal Palace, similar to Spurs, even though they're not as good, can create things down there.
Yeah. Look, Liverpool's mission here, Ross, is simple. It's been this now for weeks on end. Brighton's out the way. Arsenal's midweek. We've then got an FA Cup quarter final, which is its own beast, I think, mercifully, because it's Forest and it's a Championship team. It's then Watford, and then we've got Man City, obviously, when we come back from the international break. Yeah. And that should be the focus, is all that. Again, City just need to get sacked off out of people's sort of mindset for a while and just think about that. You know, it's because we've had this conversation of, got it, you know, it's in our hands, we've got to get there. I mean, look, Liverpool have still got to get to the Etihad and actually win at that point. But that's what Liverpool have got sort of pinned up on the dressing room wall, I would imagine, of City's there. It's like, to Ian's point about cup finals, that's the cup final. These are all like qualifying rounds for that. And then actually it's mad because you can go and beat City, then you've still got to go and win another 10 games or whatever after the fact. So yeah, this is why it feels on a knife edge. And this is why I don't think this season's weirdly less enjoyable, because of the mad stress that's on. Every single football match matters.
It is mad stress, but it's mad stress that, I think if you phrase it like that, 4 or 5 seasons ago, we weren't in the title race, that this is what comes with it, and this is what we all wanted, and this is one of the things that we have to go through. You know, talk about first world problems. If, you know, you're 100%. Second on 66 points. It's interesting, actually, there's 10 games left and 30 points to play for. That's actually quite a lot. You know, that's almost just under a third of the points that we've accrued so far. If you finish the season on 96 points, if we were to go and win all 10, by the way, that's absolutely fucking mental. You don't win, it's one of those okay hard lines. The other team was just better. It's annoying if Man City finished on 99 points. But to your point there, and I think Jürgen's been keen to say this, if we as fans, or certainly the press do as well, stop counting games like we've won them already, because it's a pointless mindset of going in thinking, okay, sound, in 3 weeks' time, as you're saying there, that City game, it's all on that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's a cup final, but it's not a cup. If we lose tomorrow, it's not a cup final.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I'm driving at there, Ian, is that you're playing for the right. Each and every one of these games has its own singular importance, but they add up to something bigger than the sum of the parts. But that's the thing about this, is we run the risk of doing our own heads in by A, watching, spending too much time looking at Manchester City, but B, for us, looking a little too far down the line. Arsenal are sneakily really good, and I'm not sure where this happened, because I haven't paid attention really to anything below second in the league for about for a couple of months now. And so you realise that there's a percentage of your life online as a football fan that's filled up with like being privy to banter, and Arsenal have been the ultimate banter club, and that's not because they deserve to be, it's just because they exist in London. And you've got Chelsea fans, and you've got, you know, Tottenham have had a better time in the last 5 years than them, largely. And X amount of, and you've got a bunch of United fans that live down in London, and Liverpool fans. So Arsenal become the brunt of the joke. And it's mad how it's like walking out of a really noisy room, and then you go, I've just noticed how quiet it is. And it's like, why is it so quiet on the football landscape? Well, it's quiet because Arsenal are fourth, and Arsenal are quite capable of comfortably finishing fourth. And that should be something that we need to be a bit wary of, is that the banter era of Arsenal, I think, is over. I think they're back to being a really good competitive football team.
They're definitely in a very good progression. I think the game on Wednesday night will come down to who is more clinical. I think both teams will concede chances. And it's going to come down to the strikers, isn't it? And as far as I'm concerned, up top, I think we beat them. Yeah, I think definitely we've got the best players, but it's just whether our players are clinical on the evening, because without a doubt, each team will have about 6 or 7 good chances, I think, and it's down to who takes them.
Well, what's interesting on that, Andrew Beasley tweeted this at the weekend, two of the Premier League's most informed teams meet on Wednesday. He's gone back the last five, well, last six. If you go back the last five, it's just win the whole way for both teams. Take it back to six, Liverpool 18 points from those 6 games. Chelsea and Arsenal 16 points from those games. So you're talking about two of the three informed sides. It feels like they've rooted out finally most of the problems in that squad, but were maybe undermining Arteta a bit, and he's managed to get a bit more of his personality into the side. What he's trying to do, it feels like they've finally got a bit of uptake on that. It's very, reminds me a little bit of Brendan Rodgers, where he, I don't know that he's great at working with established stars, but he's clearly got a gift for you know, coaching and tactics or whatever, and having some it's easier to get buy-in from their young players, and you can see it now. Martinelli's back, and actually, you know, back in fitness and certainly in form. Saka's just an absolute wonder kid. You've then got, you know, Odegaard finally, you know, I think it's been a trickier season for him, but Emile Smith-Rowe's been there, probably been their best player this season, etc, etc. Feels like they've got a really good balance, and yeah, they are far more of a threat than they've probably been in a good old while.
Yeah, about a couple of months ago, you would have nailed this down as a win. That's where the other end. Yeah, we'll win that game. And now there's a bit more precaution over it, a bit more. Listen, we need someone to go in there, and we need to do the job professionally. We need to make sure we're not giving them chances, because they can hit, Arsenal can hit, yeah, they've got some class players there. And I think that's something that's gone under the radar a little bit as well, is over the last couple of seasons, because the players didn't necessarily hit the groundwork running. The signings they made have been really good. Odegaard's a really good signing. Party's coming to the party now.
They've got a goalkeeper who saves things.
Yeah, well, he's like Pickford-esque, I think, at times. But I think he's... He was one of them signings that when it was made, it was like, oh, what are they doing there? Yeah. But they've been totally proved right in that signing. And I think they're a good team now, and it'd be interesting to see what happens with Arsenal next season if they get into the top four and they've got European football.
What they are, Ross, is stable. And I think that battle, I think important battles in the Premier League are won by stability sometimes, you know, and unfortunately, if you've got a team that's got all the best things going for them plus stability, they'll win everything, which is why City largely clean up in the Premier League under Guardiola. But sometimes you can see that happen, where like Leicester capitalising and winning the league, Liverpool coming second in 13-14. You capitalise on instability of football clubs around you. I think West Ham have been doing a great job of that this year. But actually, the reason why West Ham are will start to fade is I don't think they've got the quality in the, you know, of player in their squad ultimately. Whereas Arsenal have got... Man United have probably got better individual players. Yeah. But they're an absolute basket case of a club at the moment. They've got Moyes as a good manager. They've finally found a decent equilibrium. They've got some good players. But Arsenal, if Arsenal manage to find, if they've got a good manager and they've found stability with good players, any little deficiencies, like, for example, they haven't got seasoned match winners enough in their side. Lacazette comes to go with the penalty at the weekend, of course. But that might be the only thing that undoes them. They haven't got a Ronaldo is kind of what I'm driving at with this. But you look at it now, they've got three games in hand over Manchester United and West Ham, and they're on 51 points.
Yeah. If they were all three, they'd be third, which is mental to think about.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty consistent with Arsenal and Arteta this season. We spoke about them a lot on the Around the League show. I think he deserves a bit more credit, and I don't think, either as outside fans or maybe Arsenal fans at times, when you're talking about that banter here and what they've kind of gone through, they're on a progression, they're on a path, and that's why they've gone with Arteta. It takes time. So I think we all laugh when they lose at Brentford to the first game home of the season, going, oh, it's Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. But you're talking about the players that they brought in, the amount of dross that they've got rid of in that side. Yeah. The overturn of staff, you compare it to, you know, any job that you've had. If you get rid of four or five members of staff and you bring five new ones in, it's hard. And not only that, say you had...
Are you trying to discourage me from having a cleaning of house here? it's not even worth your time. I wouldn't actually bother.
I was thinking about your past career rather than this one. But now I'm just regretting talking about the conversation. But also, if you think about having, you have experienced players within that thing that you're saying that they're lacking at the minute, and then you bring kids in, it's then even harder. And then when you have egos like Mesut Ozil in there in that situation, a young manager dealing with that, then it happened with Aubameyang. You try to not only set what you're trying to do on the pitch, but also the leadership qualities are going, I'm not fucking putting up with that.
Yeah.
You can't behave like that in this club, and any young lads want to behave like that, you'll be gone because I'm not playing for you. This is all stepping stones, and it takes time. So I actually think they're quite far ahead of where they should be. But also, I think they're quite lucky in the sense that, like, Man United are a bit crap. Yeah. And West Ham will fall off.
Exactly.
They're taking advantage of that.
Exactly. And that's the thing about it for now. I mean, it's mad. It was 2017 the last time Arsenal were in the Champions League. And this is a pretty decent full circle. And it's funny because you could argue if you're looking to create negativity around Arsenal, you go, that's a lot of time and money expended to effectively just return to the Arsene Wenger era of... We finished fourth, isn't that great? But yeah, I genuinely feel like that, you're right, that the summer coming is going to be a big one for them because United aren't going to be a basket case for long. They'll eventually get it right because they've got enough money to throw at it. Chelsea might slip down a bit, but they're only going to slip down into the bracket of maybe they slip into they're fighting for fourth as opposed to...
Or administration goal.
Well, yeah, you know, but like that, you know, in an ideal world. but moreover, it'd be mad if they just completely vanished off the, you know, out of that sort of equation. And there's other clubs who are hungry and looking to push them underneath as well. So what they do next, but I mean, I'm sure for Arsenal fans, they'll be absolutely buzzing because it must be exhausting. Just like, you know, like that, what they've been through and that, every time it's three or three bad results, it's like the immediate, you pull out like everything's fucked, push the nuclear button every time it's not quite right for a few weeks. So,
but go back to what we went through Middlesbrough, you know, and Genie scoring that goal. Like, we were so relieved to get top four football, and then talk about stepping stones. What does that bring? Well, you stop Man United getting Champions League football, mm-hmm. and that's even. Yeah. I know they've still got that big club pulling, they'll throw money at the problem, which is another issue. But have Arsenal gone from no European football to Champions League football? What's that monetary value? What attraction does that bring in to say the final piece is actually...
Arsenal are further ahead of their rebuild than Manchester United, and no one's got onto that because Man United went, yeah, there's Cristiano Ronaldo, everyone go and do shout Sue in the car park and everything will be fine. But that's the thing, isn't it, Ian? Is that, yeah, I agree with what Ross is saying. If Arsenal get into the top four, they're able to attract those players without having to pay stupid money. They're not having to like go, I'm really sorry, we're not going to offer you what you want and your ambitions, here's loads of dough to plug the gap, because Arsenal have been there. We've just mentioned all those names. They're actually finally shut of all the lads who want to play for Arsenal because they're getting paid lots of money first. Man United are chock full of them. So yeah, I mean, and look, that's the one downside to this game. Our ambitions need to come far beyond any of these things. These are side stories. Arsenal have got these games in hand. Hopefully, when you're a top four challenging side, you don't tend to win games in hand. You tend to drop points. God knows Liverpool have been there, and we need to make sure that if Arsenal are on this mission to rebuild themselves, they can pick it up again next week.
Being fighting for top four in this league is like no mean feat. When you look at the teams that are in there, and you look at your Uniteds and your Chelseas, your Liverpool, your Cities, your Arsenals and stuff like that. So that doesn't make you a banter club. I think when Arsene Wenger was there, it's a case of you've got to be careful what you ask for, because there's a lot of Arsenal fans wanting Arsene Wenger out.
Yeah,
when
the grass is always greener.
Getting a top four every single season. And when he went, it was like they had to restart completely from scratch and build it back up. Arteta's done absolutely brilliant doing that, I think. And just mentioning what Ross has just mentioned there about Aubameyang, that looks like an absolute masterstroke now. When Aubameyang was let go in January, there's a lot of people questioning that, going, well, where do you want to get the goals from? Yeah. What are they going to do? And I think Aubameyang going has affected the squad positively. They seem to be a little bit more together.
Lacazette stepped up, hasn't he?
Yeah, but it's very actually Klopp Liverpool management to say, you know what, yeah, theoretically we're undercutting ourselves for half a season and it might actually limit our ambition, but the benefits it's going to give to squad harmony and building towards it. We're not managing for one season, he's managing for two, three, four and so on. Yeah, it's a good move. Right, listen, we need to put an end to this Arsenal wank fest. We've only lost once at the Emirates under Klopp, which I thought was quite interesting, because I have this notion of the Emirates being a really like a bit of a bogey ground and we don't do very well there. The only time we've lost there under Klopp was after restart, was, you know,
we lost everything.
Well, no, but exactly, like everything sort of fell apart once we had the title sewn up and all that kind of thing. But that was a note of encouragement as far as I'm concerned. Right, we're going to be talking about what Liverpool are going to do and how they're going to do it and who they're going to do it with in a bit. I just want to draw attention, if you want to know a little bit more about Arsenal, I will be probably slightly less nicer than I've been about them in his presence, but I'm talking to old Don Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV on the Oppo preview streaming on Redmen Plus this evening. I think it's about 5 o'clock-ish, I think I'm doing that one, but it'll be available after the fact in podcast and in video form over on there as well. So if you want to go and check that out, then do go and sign up for Redmen Plus. Right, trivia question: how many times has Alexander Lacazette Gilbert played against Liverpool, how many goals has he scored, and how many games has he won? I'm going to answer that for you momentarily. But our sponsor on the Unboot today is Threads for Red. Some incredible merchandise and apparel, from t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies. They've got pin badges and they've got mugs, incredible stuff. They've got a couple of new t-shirts that have just gone out celebrating Liverpool's win of the League Cup. I'm actually wearing one myself. It's become my brand new favourite t-shirt at the moment, which looks at the 9 League Cups that Liverpool have won. 9, that's the most anyone's ever won. And there's another one called a Great 11 as well, which actually marks the penalty shootout of the Cueven-Kelleher final, as it were, and where all of the Liverpool's 11 penalties ended up inside the frame of the goal. Very good stuff indeed.
Cannot recommend their hoodies enough. It's like being constantly hugged by someone.
Yeah, honestly, genuinely, they've got the quality of this stuff is absolutely brilliant. So yeah, if you're into that kind of stuff and you want hoodies, we're heading towards spring, of course, but it means not that it's time to put your hoodies away. It's time to put your big coat away and go back to hoodies.
Yeah.
Mid-level clothing is what you're looking for at this point. So there's a bunch of great hoodies and stuff available there. Just go to threadsforreds.com. And yeah, you can have a little look around and see if you can pick yourself up some Boss Liverpool gear as well. Right, sound. Let's go to the trivia question. That was, how many times has Alexander Lacazette played against Liverpool? How many goals has he scored and how many games has he won? Does anyone want to have a little...
7-1 and none.
Okay, Ian?
I would have said he hasn't won any games. I can't remember him scoring against us either. And probably 6.
He has played 12 times against Liverpool. Yeah, I was quite surprised by how big a number that was. Going all the way back.
Not probably.
Well, going all the way back to August 2017. I'm quite amazed that he's been
there.
Exactly, yeah. I was shocked that he's been at Arsenal that long. He's played 12 times against us. He has won just once. That is the aforementioned win in restart.
Okay.
Of course, he was quite instrumental in that game. In fact, he scored. We lost 2-1 at the Emirates for that one. And he scored a grand total of 3 goals against Liverpool as well. Yeah, he scored in the 1-1 draw in November 2018 at the Emirates. He scored in the 2-1 win at the Emirates in July 2020. And in their 3-1 defeat at Anfield, he scored in that game as well in September 2020.
Bobby Firmino stacks up against those stats.
Probably much better. My
nostalgic brain thinks he scored like 36 goals.
Bobby's got 50 goals against Arsenal. I don't even need to fact check that. I'm pretty certain that is the case. As mentioned, we're going to presume that City have beaten Palace. We'll just work on this idea that it's a big win. It's going to be a big game for Liverpool regardless. But the question for me, Ross, and therefore for you, Forest at the weekend.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity to make big changes to the side. I can't see that. And I think we will go stronger than people maybe think. But also, I don't know anymore. I can't see there being loads of changes from the weekend.
No.
Because that wasn't far off our best team. There's maybe a case for one or two. I think the only one that I think is nailed on to definitely come in is Thiago.
Yeah, rest from the weekend, but I don't think Keita did anything wrong. But then you play Keita at the weekend and you have to manage Thiago in that sense. Mm-hmm. A bit like we used to do with Joel Matip. The only other one I think you can talk about is maybe Mo Salah, and that's not I would rotate him, but obviously he goes off with a bit of a hamstring problem. We don't know the severity of that just yet.
Yeah.
But also, it's this week's cup final. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Do you just play him and say you're not playing Nottingham Forest? I highly doubt he's going to sit there in the biggest game of the season so far and sit there and watch it, because I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, Mohamed Salah's the big doubt. It's him and Konate are the only two doubts that we're aware of, Ian. And we're not 100% clear on the Konate stuff, because a lot of it was talk about COVID.
Yeah. I've noticed he's doing the press conferences from Anfield the past week or so.
Yeah, they're back to that again. But like, it was, it's on injury rumours being a knock, and Salah's is the obvious one. I think Salah will push himself through, and it's interesting, the Klopp's post-match, he talked like Mo says it's nothing, but of course Mo will say it's nothing because Mo wants to play every single game of football and he will push himself through. But I wonder whether this is one where it depends, because you can nurse him through this because he's not going to play at the weekend, and then there's an international break, and it's whether you're weighing up the a balance here. Is this the international break where they play Senegal in the World Cup qualifiers? Maybe someone watching at home can tell us that, a definitive answer to that. My point in this is that we might need to protect Mo Salah here from himself, because there's no way he's going to choose to miss this game if he thinks he can get on the pitch.
Well, we discussed it before on the Blighton final word, and if it was my decision, which obviously completely not, I wouldn't play him, because I just think you're putting at risk of putting him out for a good 4 or 5 cup finals. Then I think you've got to say, listen, Mo, it's best for you just to sit. Maybe Klopp could have a work with the medical team and say, listen, lads, you need to go and have a word with him. He's fighting to go Wednesday, and I don't want him to go because we've got a lot more games coming up. I know Arsenal are a big team, and I know Arsenal are, like we're saying, how good they are, and it's a massive game for us, but we aren't the Liverpool squad that we were 18 months ago, 2 years ago. We've got people who can come in, and we proved that through January while he was at AFCON, that we can get by without him for a game or two.
Yeah.
So I'd be saying, just sit this one out and sit Forest out.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, again, I can't see a world where you don't just... And literally, unless he's physically incapable,
yeah,
whether you'd ask him to, because it's mad. Because I think we're in danger, and none of us have said this, by the way, but I can see this conversation progressing, yeah, of the bits around the contract stuff in the last week or two. I think Mo will want to be out there just to continue to prove points. There was a little part of me that almost went, we've got a great deal of good options, but here's forever the problem with this, Ross. You could start Diogo Jota, you could start Roberto Firmino, you could put Mane over to the right-hand side, you keep Diaz on the left-hand side. There's a ton of options there in absence of Salah, and we did cope really well with him at AFCON, but we had to cope without him at AFCON. You would never knowingly choose to not have the best player in the world in a massive game of football like this. No. And it's dangerous to think that we will be fine,
yeah,
and we would be fine, and we've got the best chance of being fine. But nobody's Mo Salah.
No, but you're in a situation where you've got the luxury of being able to change those players, and you're not pressurising yourself to the point of last season of you're just going to have to play because there's no one else. Jota and Bobby are two world-class footballers that are willing to either take his place or take it one on the sheet and then maybe move Mane to the right, and Diaz is there, and that was the benefit of you know, the AFCON stuff. Well, Diaz has hit the ground running. Like, there's no pressure. I think Jota was injured at that point. You don't need to rush him back. You've got an option there. Yeah. Why would you do it? Why would you cut your nose off to spite your face? But it's hard, because like you said, it's not the physical cut your nose off to spite your face. Is what you're doing to Mo Salah's mentality by saying you need to rest. And is he going to sit there and dwell on the situation? Or are Liverpool then going to worry of going, oh, have we upset him? We pissed him off. What's his agent going to tweet this week? And you shouldn't do. I don't think Jürgen Klopp will.
And I think that's like that. You just literally just described anxiety there. like, I just watched that all happen in real time. Yeah. This is what a panic attack looks like, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm all right.
Yeah, no, I know. We will be, I'm certain. But the thing about Salah for me, and again, hopefully he's fine. Hopefully it is nothing. Liverpool don't need to risk him, because to the point, it's not just for the running. This happens to footballers, and this is where we killed Torres off, and ultimately Steven Gerrard and a bunch of other players, and Michael Owen certainly, is I don't want us to be sat here. Let's say Liverpool finally lament and pay Salah and the agree a contract thing, and then he does end up the worst case scenario where, you know, 2 years later and he's barely getting on the pitch because he's got a bunch of injuries, and then you trace it all back and it comes back to this game at the Emirates where Liverpool should have just said, actually, no, mate, you're not playing. You need to make sure that you're resting, because we're not. Yeah, it's not just 10 more games. But if you want a 5-year contract, then we want to make sure that we've still got a Mo Salah available. And this is also what anxiety sounds like, by the way. But yeah, we're in a merciful position where we can't say. I would, if he's not 100%, put him on the bench. Put him on the bench.
And that's not a bad thing either, because then you've got to wind up Mo Salah wants to come off the bench and then score. It's only a bad decision if he gets a recurring injury, or we lose the game and we'll be sat here on Thursday going, we should have played for Mo Salah, because that's the way that the world works.
And we shouldn't have to think about the international break thingy, because he's not going to play at the weekend. He just won't, regardless. I've confirmed it. Yeah, so Egypt, Senegal, first leg of the World Cup qualifier is on Friday the 25th, and then the second leg is on the 29th, following on from that. So two huge games of football for both him and Mane, to be fair, in that, and we might need to just, and it's annoying because this is international football writ large, we shouldn't have to factor those things in, but we'd be stupid not to factor those things in.
But we need to, because we tend to look after our players better than the international teams do. Like, if he goes to play for Egypt, then he's carrying a knock. They won't wrap him in cotton wool like we do.
Exactly.
They'll go on, just play, you'll be fine. Yeah. And then if you feel anything, then we'll take it off.
It's exactly, this is not, this is not, is done. Yeah, exactly. This is not like a World Cup group game. This is do or die. The winning team will play in the World Cup and the losing team will not play in the World Cup. And again, Mo Salah, they're not going to go, Mo, I think, you know, not, from their own...
Got a title race to do, Mo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, no one at Egypt is going to protect Mo from himself.
Yeah.
And it's whether Liverpool can do this. But again, should Liverpool undercut what they're doing? You know, is there a situation where you go, and this is not really what we want, but you do push him through this one, and then what, he's not fit to go to there? But also we've had this world time and time again, Naby Keita being a great example, where just seems to go away and he will play when he shouldn't be playing international football and comes back even worse.
When he goes to international duty, he's still Liverpool's problems. And when he goes back from Egypt, he's not Egypt's problem anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
Just draining for what they can and a go.
The bigger thing on this is it opens up this giant can of worms of what do Liverpool do now in attack? I think we've been rotating the midfield quite nicely. Reasonably so, but also entering a position where there's a couple of lads, same conversations we were having pre-Brighton, you know, eased by most of the answers to these questions is you play them against Nottingham Forest at the weekend, of course, but Jota needs to start game for Liverpool. Like, and, you know, Mane's done a brilliant job, I think, coming in at centre-forward. And I think we're managing Mane as well. I think we're psychologically managing Sadio Mane. Because I think there was a bit of temptation for him to drop out and not come back in again. It's a bit weird for me in that if Jota doesn't start this and Mane does start it, when, again, Mane's got a big do-or-die set of games coming up in a couple of weeks' time, we've effectively... And, you know, if he's getting in ahead of Bobby and Jota, I don't know, it's major man management going on behind the scenes is kind of what I'm alluding to.
But what's happened with Mane is I think Mane mentally wasn't a good place, but he didn't look himself on the pitch. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was dealing with something. Since he's gone central and he's playing central, he's playing it really, really well. And I'd be worried taking him out right now because he's got momentum, and when someone's got momentum and you take them away, that momentum doesn't always kick on when you bring them back.
Yeah.
So right now I'd be saying, listen, man, you play, if you're going to rest him for the game, rest him for the Forest game.
Yeah.
Just keep him in there for playing that centre role and keep him in doing it well, because that's what he's doing. I'd be a bit concerned about taking him out right now because Mane didn't have the best of seasons last season, but right now he's getting up a bit of pace, he's looking good in the pitch, and let's keep him going that way.
Yeah.
I use the phrase, it changes because of the rest for Mane, going up from the left and into the middle, and I think he seems to be enjoying himself, but he's also being helped with the fact that Diaz has hit the ground running.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to see whether he gets assessed after getting crafty kick chopped, cleaned out at the weekend.
He's
having a stroll around Liverpool yesterday, actually, so he must be all right. But I personally wouldn't drop him because I think he's our best player at the minute.
Yeah.
And he's in incredible form, but if you're going to swap someone out, is it him, or just let's say, do you rest Salah? Mane then goes to the right, another change, and then you bring one of the other two lads in.
Yeah, and I think Salah will ease this conversation a little bit, but it's for me, it's Jota. I just, you know, I think we're being careful with him. You know, he obviously had his injury, and he we don't want to run him into the ground as well. For as much as we're having these conversations around Salah and Mane, once he came back from that injury last season, we didn't quite get him. You know, he goes out again for the back end of the campaign, doesn't he? And we need to be careful. Obviously, he starts Inter Milan, but other than that, you know, he doesn't start the final because of injury. Having missed the Norwich and the Leeds games, he's only a substitute, and he comes on right wing at West Ham for like 11 minutes, and he comes on again as a late substitute at the weekend as well. I don't know whether we might need to be this one where, let's say Salah's fit, I wonder whether I'd say to Diaz, you've done really well here, mate, but we're going to bring Jota back in on that left-hand side. And then that's just squad management, isn't it? You know, you're sharing the minutes around a bit, and hopefully that kickstart Jota, because I think he's one now, again, it's going under the radar. He could probably do with a goal. He could do with just getting back into the swing of things for Liverpool, because it does feel like, through no fault of his own, maybe he's just slipped a little bit down the pecking order. But of course,
this is the problem that we're going to have now, though, because if they don't perform, then there's now two lads that are going to take your place that are world-class players. But also, I'd rather be making changes for rotations purposes, not for form purposes. Like, if someone's been crap and you're being dropped, as everyone seems to say when the team news comes out, you're being rotated because you need to be managed. There's an international break coming up, but it's about the long game, isn't it? In the back end of the season, the business end of the season, making sure those five players up top are in the best condition as possible.
Yeah.
If that means they're being rotated for a game, it's not a bad thing. Like you said, it's the management side of it.
Yeah.
And I'd argue for Bobby Firmino, like, he's fallen even further down the pecking order since those lads have come in. But you need someone who's going to sit on Xhaka, who's going to sit on Thomas Partey and take the ball off him and graft, you know, and stop Arsenal from constructing attacks.
Well, I've actually enjoyed how Mane's done that. I think he was brilliant at that. And to be fair, Jota's great at that kind of stuff as well. But you're right, I feel like in a normal world, Firmino probably comes back in for this game, but having not played, it looks, there's a few players there that you're just like, he's defo starting Forest, and you work back. So it's like, looking at it, Firmino definitely starts Forest. Oxlade-Chamberlain probably almost certainly starts it. Harvey Elliott almost certainly starts it. And then
Taki,
probably Divock Origi, maybe.
Nanti, if he's all right.
Yeah. Exactly, and then we'll sort of see.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do check out the story of a crew streaming exclusively on Red Men Plus over the international break and beyond as well. I've said this a couple of times, but like, genuinely, there's people who are kit people and they'll be like, oh my God, rubbing their hands together over that one, because getting it, the in-depth, how far he's gone into that story is incredible. But there's also people, if you just like documentaries and you like Liverpool documentaries, we've got tons of them on there anyway, but I think you'd be surprised. I think it was one of the points Steve made, having watched it, he didn't really care about football kits at all, but it's a fascinating, it's such a niche little subject, and it's amazing when you peel the layers back and the amount of people who Liverpool like talk to and they got inspiration for, which then, you know, leads forward to the away kit that Liverpool have got this season and some of the risks they've been taking.
Jay's passion for that kit is unrivalled, and you can see with the work that he's put into it and how much he loves it, it's come out in that documentary.
But yeah, completely. So yeah, do check that one out. Right, sound. Right, if you're watching live and you want to get some comments and thoughts in on anything, do it now. I'm going to read through the comments in a moment. We're going to do the current fixtures still to be played this midweek. Again, overlooking Monday as best we possibly can. Brighton, Tottenham. is another Wednesday game. We've then obviously we're 8:15 kickoff, which I didn't realise, which is really annoying. Couldn't that just be 8:15, you gang of pricks? And then Thursday, Everton versus Newcastle. Ian Young, the Ev. I mean, look, they're at home, but also they were at home at the weekend. If they don't get something from that game, they're in deep, deep shit.
They're in deep shit anyway, because they're not getting points. It's all right saying they're not winning games, but they're not getting points. They're not drawing games either, which is the biggest concern for me. And when I watched the Spurs v Everton game a couple of weeks ago, it's like Memphis was. It wasn't great to watch as an Everton. If you're an Everton, because obviously I'm not. Mm-hmm. They need to start picking up points quick. Not necessarily wins. You just need to start picking up some sort of points.
Anything
right now.
Well, that confidence is the one for them.
Yeah.
Because I think Newcastle, from what I've seen, were quite unlucky against Chelsea in the game for obviously 89 minutes. I think they scored, should have had a penalty, and they didn't. Yeah. Their form, you know, the past 4 or 5 weeks has been incredible. I think you might feel a bit aggrieved. So you're then facing a Newcastle that are, you know, on the backlash.
Yeah.
And I think you can safely say are out of the relegation fight.
Yep.
As it stands, so they're going to want 3 points just to make sure that they're safe.
The thing about Everton, because you're dead right, what you were saying there, you know, looking at them, they've won 6, drawn 4, lost 16. The only difference, and they've got 22 points. Look, Watford's difference there, they've lost 3 more games than Everton. They've won the same amount, they've drawn the same amount.
Do you know the team that they beat?
Who was it?
Leeds,
yeah. But the point is, what I'm driving at here is Everton have got 3 games in hand over Watford, so theoretically Everton should be absolutely laughing here. But that point is that 16 defeats and the 19 defeats, which is the difference, is that Everton could quite easily just be sat there on. They could easily lose those 3 games in hand, and that's
and Burnley could win theirs.
Yeah,
it could be a case of they're just 3 more games to lose, which makes your goal difference worse.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, and that's it. The moment, and that's a really good point, because yeah, they've got a better difference. They've got like a 7 better goal difference than Watford, but they've played 3 less games of football. All of a sudden, you know, got a couple of 2s and a 3, and you're in massive trouble.
I think they've been hanging their hat on their home form, which to Wayne's point before, you know, you're playing Wolves at home, you are, you know, a difficult side, and you then lose at home, and then you know. Where's the hope going? You know, any bit of drain of hope that they've got, and then they're getting more abuse from the fans after the game and stuff. It's just Everton and Newcastle at the minute are just poles apart.
Yeah, I know, it's funny that, isn't it? It's mad. It's definitely. But it's crazy. You know, it's balmy. I can't. I've said this before. And I'm not a great Everton fan, but I also like. I feel sorry for some of the people who support them. It's a crazy, crazy situation. Right, sounds. I ask people for comments and what have you. I'll have a look in our Club Legend Discord chat. If you're a Club Legend subscriber on Redmen Plus, you get access to this chat. My dad says, I can't be alone in thinking if we win this, the title is on. It's our biggest challenge bar the City game. That's a reasonable shout, I guess. She said, Red, of course, if you listen to this after the fact, I'll mention it one more time. We don't know if Palace did anything against City. We're going to presume not. Palace win, we win, and we're top of the table going into April. I hope this is foreshadowing. I hope he's done a really good thing. He said, had to manifest that into the universe. Sometimes you've got to do those things, definitely. My dad says, I keep thinking about the phrase Liverpool is inevitable that Edel said a while back, beat Arsenal, and surely City's heads start being haunted by these words too. Gav Red says, Pep says Liverpool are a pain in the ass, game at a time, cup final mentality, grind it out, they'll feel pressure. I think that's really a really interesting point. Matty Cater saying, as improved as Arsenal are at the minute and how well they are playing, going toe-to-toe with us, I only see one result. I don't see them having the discipline and stamina to keep up with us for 90 minutes. I mean, the only thing that Arsenal have got, one of the many things Arsenal have got going for them, but one example of which is they're out of the cups, domestic cups now as well. So literally, it's just a straight burn. Yeah, straight burn on the league. So I don't see this being. I think this is going to be a horrible game of football in potential. God knows. Hopefully, I'm wrong, and hopefully, they'll just cruise it. Of course, but yeah, that's a big one this midweek.
It'd be interesting, actually. You speak to Robbie later. Is you know. And obviously wins a good result, but is a draw for Arsenal a good result considering they've got games in hand? Like, do they need to go all out for this game?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be stupid to just drop it. And you're crushing, you know, the consistent run that they're on.
The thing is, though,
I don't think Arsenal have to play that way, do you?
Yeah, and also to be fair, because I think if it ends up a draw, they can say that's a good
point. Yeah, of course, because of that. They won't go into.
But to the point, I think this, it's not a free hit as such. But there's a great thing there. They go all out at us, toe for toe. No one's expecting them to be on our level. And if they don't get pasted, then they get to walk away going, wow, look what we were capable of doing. There's a real opportunity. Exactly. Yeah, there's a real opportunity, I think, and more than that, for Arteta to kind of give a real morale boost to the side there. Because even if they land a blow and they ultimately don't come out on top, he will be prepared to say, look, we're supposedly miles away. This is one of the best teams in Europe, and we've managed to... Look at all the good things you did against Liverpool. Yeah. That's what he's playing for here. And obviously 3 points, of course, but yeah.
If Man City beat Crystal Palace... Crystal Palace beat Man City and we beat Arsenal, I can guarantee you I'm not going to bed on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I'll just be staring at the table.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's going to be that'll be the next level of stress for us to all exist in. But yeah, I mean that's the worst thing is that again it's actually pressure on Liverpool as much as we're talking about putting pressure on Manchester City. If City were to drop points on Monday night, that is a whole nother kettle of fish. This game all of a sudden because we're going you're closing the gap on City and how are they going to deal with it? All of a sudden we've got to go to the Emirates knowing that a win would put Liverpool into a boss position. So yeah, we have to be. Yeah, it works both ways is what I'm driving at there. Brad Murphy's joined us as a first teamer here on YouTube. Thank you so much for joining on YouTube membership. Really good stuff. Tom Chandler sent a super chat in for £179. Thank you, Tom. I hope Diogo keeps up his good record versus Arsenal. And that's another one in absence of Firmino. There's something to getting Diogo into this game for that, certainly. I just think he needs a goal. You know, I think in terms of the psychological boost, I think Mane's played himself into form. Diaz is flying. Salah. Yeah. Anyway, we need to do our 11s. What are you going for, Ross?
I don't know whether to just go with the same 11 because I don't think anyone's done anything to warrant being changed, to be honest.
The same 11. But so, yeah. Naby Keita.
Yeah, because I don't think they've done anything wrong, but also there's the fitness side of things. So just to the top, what we're talking about before, I think the only one change that I potentially would make is Thiago for Keita.
Yeah.
And the other one is possibly Jota or Bobby for Mane. But I don't think that necessarily has to be at the start of the game. I'd be quite happy if they came on as a substitute.
Yeah.
And then you need to take him money off.
What are you going for, dude?
I'm going to go back on what I said before on the Brighton show, because I said that Naby Keita and Henderson was our Premier League midfield. I'm going to go with Ross, and I think Thiago's going to come in, because I think our midfield will need to scrap less against Arsenal than what they did against Brighton, and we need a bit more... keep using the word, but a bit more creativity and finesse against Arsenal. So Thiago's perfect for that. If Salah's not fit, I'd just bring Jota in, straight swap.
Just put it on the right-hand side. Yeah. It's an interesting one. Yeah, I think Thiago comes in because I think this is what you've bought Thiago for. You know, to go and just run midfield in big games of football. So keep Fabinho.
I'll turn Xhaka inside out and get him sent off.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The only one, if Konate was just a nothing injury, or if he was symptomless with COVID and he's fine, then I might be tempted to put him in just because Matip's played a lot of footy and you just keep an eye on him, perhaps. Although I'd made the case a week ago that I'd have played Konate at the weekend because I wanted Matip to play this one because I think, yes, Konate's got the greater recovery pace and he's a bit more physical. Being able to catch Arsenal with a perfect offside trap, I think you're increasing that chances with Matip in the team. So,
big game experience with Matip as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think we keep the same goalie, I think the same back four as the weekend. I think Thiago comes in for Keita, and then I think he'll probably stick with Diaz, Mane and Salah if Salah's fit. Although I would drop Diaz out and I would have Jota, Mane and Salah. And if Salah's out, I think it might just be as simple as you're right. I think Jota maybe just comes in, comes in for him. But then there's a case of do you move Mane over and put Jota centre forward? But then I'll let Arsenal's team stress about what we're doing in that one. But yeah, let us know your 11s in the absolutely. Yeah, if you want to keep up to date with everything that's happened around the football club as well, we've now got all Liverpool's pre and post match press conferences available for free on our YouTube and on podcasting, free podcasting services as well. I think it's 6:15 tomorrow, I believe, is Klopp's press conference. So yeah, that'll be up shortly afterwards on the YouTube channel and beyond as well. So make sure you check that out. Let's have a score prediction, Ross.
1-0 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool.
Okay, sounds. Yeah. 2-0 Liverpool. Goal either half. Arsenal to give us a few problems. My one prediction for this is Arsenal have at least 2 goals disallowed because of offside, and everyone feels like Arsenal. This is going to be, I think, a bit like Inter Milan away, where everyone feels like comes away feeling like Arteta had this tactical masterclass over Klopp, but they probably, in the balance of things, maybe only have like 1 shot on target because all their efforts are technically offside.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
What do you have for an Andy Robertson goal as well? Have that little nugget. Yeah.
Go ahead. Nuts, you were doing so so sensible up to a point. Yeah, great. Right, yeah, as mentioned, loads more to come from us. Do check out threadsforreds.com if you want some Boss Liverpool gear. If you want more great content from us as well, or you just want to support what we do here for free on Spotify, iTunes and YouTube, etc., then do consider joining up to Redmen Plus. Head over to redmentv.com and sign up. 2 tiers. There's one that just gets you all the content, which is Club Captain, and there's Club Legend, which gets you all the content, plus our Discord group and free merchandise and loads of nice little extra perks and that kind of stuff, which is a bit more like Patreon and what we do, but it's ours, we own it, so we don't have another company take a massive chunk out of it. And yeah, make sure you're geared up for a crew story, game changer.
Good way to kill an international break by watching all our documentaries.
Exactly, loads of our stuff there to keep you occupied. Anyway, thanks Ross, thank you Ian, and thank you guys who've joined us live. You're all amazing. Have a boss week, and yeah, we'll see you back for the watch along on Wednesday night.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.